Good morning. Today's Daf and Yevamos Kuf Yud Ches. We are finishing today the 15th parak of the Masechta, the penultimate parak. Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we begin the last parak of the Masechta. And again, as we already pointed out, so just within this week, we're going to be finishing Yevamos, and Friday, I believe, we're going to be starting Ksuvos. Anyway, we let's open up with the Mishnah. This parak is dealing with once again Eidus Isha. Testimony that would allow a woman to remarry, or she's married, she's currently married, but unfortunately her husband is gone and he has not returned and we don't know what happened to him and we have reporting. So what do we do with the reporting? So this already was discussed principally in the 10th parak of the Masechta, where that was a long parak dedicated to this very important discussion. It's a critical discussion. Obviously, it's a very sensitive discussion. And so it's a really exciting topic, but meanwhile, we discussed it principally already once before. So what are we doing over here in this 15th parak? So we're discussing it again with some deviation. In other words, a little bit of a different discussion, specifically where she comes back and she's doing the reporting about herself. So self-reporting regarding the status of her husband. So what happens under those circumstances? So basically, she's allowed to remarry. Meaning the assumption that we're going to be making is that if she's self-reporting, so she's telling the truth and she can remarry. Now, that's not always true, and that needs a little bit more context. And go back to the beginning of this parak, where we discussed that contextually. What if we know that her and her husband are having terrible marital discord? Are we going to believe her then? The simple answer is no. What if they came back from a war zone, and she's not really sure her husband died? She thinks her husband has died. That's also another discussion to be had. But to say it simply, though, under normal circumstances, self-reporting will allow her to remarry. Yesterday we discussed where you have disagreement regarding whether her husband's alive or dead. 1v2, 2v1, 1v1. Okay, if you go back to yesterday's daf, you'll see the Mishnah inside. Anyway, we're picking it up now in the Mishnah. Achas omeres meis v'achas omeres lo meis. Okay, so this becomes now an awkward situation as we open up today's daf. And that is that there's a disagreement amongst the co-wives. The co-wives are coming back, and one said that my husband's dead. And the other one says, my husband, same husband, by the way, in other words, the co-wives, right, my husband is not dead. So it's a little bit awkward. Meaning, is he dead? It depends who you're asking. And right now, we're getting different messages from different wives. So Zushu Ameres Meis Dinasaviti Tol Ksuvasa. So the one who reports that her husband died now is entitled to remarry and also receive a ksuva, as we learned previously. And Vizusha Ameres Lomes Lotinasev Lotital Ksuvasa. And the one who said that her husband is not dead, again, same man is not dead, so she cannot remarry, she cannot collect her ksuva. Okay. So how do you make sense of any of this? And the answer is actually pretty simple. And that is that, look, the one who said that her husband's dead, so we give her the we give her the nemanus, we give her the credibility. And the one who elects to believe, suggests that her husband is alive, so basically she, even though for the other woman we have totally accepted the fact that the husband has died, but for this woman she wants to believe that her husband's still alive for whatever reason. Maybe it's because it's true, maybe because whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. So she can accept upon herself whatever she wants to accept upon herself. She wants to accept upon herself the status of a married woman. She could do that, right? In other words, it's not much different than a neder, where a person can take upon himself various, you know, statuses and positions. Okay. Achas omeres meis v'achas omeres nerag. Okay, now, we get to the scenario where here it's a little bit more nuanced. One woman came back and reported that this man died, meaning died naturally. And the co-wife comes back and says, what are you talking about? He died horrifically. He was murdered. So over here, they're both agreeing to the fact that he's no longer alive. Now it's just a simple and basic disagreement in terms of how it happened. So Remeir says, look, we have over here differing opinions, and they're not in agreement with one another. What do we call this generally? Edim ha-machisho zezeh. The testimony now is in dispute with one another. Again, this is not classic Eidus over here. These are the wives that are self-reporting. But nevertheless, the two stories are not aligned. We cannot make alignment of these two stories. And therefore, Remeir says we're going to have to toss it out. And that means that according to Remeir, under these circumstances, neither of them can get remarried. Now, where was Remeir one case ago in the Mishnah? Good. If you're wondering that, you're asking the right question. And I'm going to ask you to just wait one moment, and we're going to come back to that. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Amrim, Hol, Vazu, Vazu, Modos, Shein, Kayim, Yanasu. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon says, look, yeah, they're certainly at odds in terms of how he died, but they both agree that he's dead, and therefore they can both go ahead and remarry, despite the fact that there is a substantive disagreement between the two of them regarding how he died. But nevertheless, at least the common denominator is that their husband's dead. Eid omer meis ve'eid omer lo meis. Isha omeris meis ve'isha omeris lo meis. Hare zelo sinase. So you have over here one witness saying that he died, one witness saying that he did not die, a woman saying that he died, and another woman saying that he did not die. So hare zelo sinase. So and as Rashi points out over here, you look at the top Rashi on Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Ho Vasa Shnia Kodem Shiat Yirua Pi Rishona, V'Afilu Shnia Zut Sarasa, Osrasa. So what happens over here is that basically we have simultaneous testimonies, meaning simultaneous contradictory testimonies. We learned in yesterday's daf that when the one aid comes and was matir based on the one aid, so now you have a heter, you have a bona fide heter. And if one aid comes after that to contradict, yeah, but in other words, once you receive the official heter, so remember the comment we had yesterday from Ula, is that once Chachamim believe one like two, so then that's it. We have Eidos, and you don't budge from the heter. Over here, in our Mishnah, what we're discussing, this third case of our Mishnah, is where it's simultaneous. I don't mean exactly at the same time. I just simply mean that's one immediately after the other, and no heter was issued. Right, of a Gemara, mituk malala high stomach, Rabbi Meir, damar sarasa nami mechashala. Okay, we'll get to the Gemara in just a moment regarding that this is Rabbi Meir's shita. Okay, so what do we have in our Mishnah over here? Multiple cases of contradictory testimony. So in case number one, it's one call wife and the other call wife both giving us absolutely opposite reports in terms of whether their husband is alive and dead. And a really interesting psak in the first case of the Mishnah, where the one who reports he's dead, she can go ahead and remarry. Even collector ksuva. And the other one who says that the husband is still alive, she can't remarry. Obviously, she's not collecting her ksuva. And taima da amr lo meis.
In the last case, what does he have to say? The man. If the woman, if each woman says,
I'm going to come back to that. We're going to try to clarify that even a little bit better. Okay, so time of the Amar Lames, Hayishtaka Tinase. So the Gemara says now, the second wife said Lames. Now, what if she said nothing? So implicit in the Mishnah is Hayishtaka Tinase. She can get married. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that implication is no good. Go back to what we learned yesterday. Co-wives can't testify on behalf of one another. So the Gemara says, "I ain't sarah me'ida l'chaverta." So the Gemara says, "Lo." Okay, so obviously you can't walk away with that implication because it's not true. It's simply not true. A co-wife cannot testify on behalf of another. The only testimony that would work is only self-reporting. It only works for herself. So meis yitzrichle saka dachamina hameis. So the Gemara says like this. No. I might have thought of the following, that really the truth of the matter is that he's dead. V'hadda kamar lomes. And now, as far as the co-wife is concerned, the co-wife is coming and saying that he didn't die. Meaning, the truth of the matter is that the wife who was reporting that he died, she's right. He actually did die. No, so then what is going on over here that the co-wife is coming in and said that he didn't die? Like, in other words, what is she? Why would she do that? So the Gemara says, because of hatred. In other words, hatred is a powerful emotion, and it leads to people making funny decisions. So lekukula letzarahu dekamechavne v'tamos nafshi implishim kamra kamash malan. So the Gemara says like this, that because, look, let's take a look at Shimshon. So Shimshon, what was he prepared to do at the end? So right after four chapters, right, four prakim in Shoftim. So at the end, so what Shimshon did as a result of his hatred for the plishtim is that he killed the plishtim, together with himself. Okay. So in other words, so people will do harm to themselves in order to extract vengeance on their enemies. So I understand, by the way, it's not a pleasant thought to compare co-wives to that of Shimshon and the plishtim, but in other words, tamus nafshi in plishtim, or as the Gemara has it, by the way, the Gemara does like a little play on the pasuk, tamus nafsha in plishtim. right? In other words, obviously, we're describing the co-wives over here. So in other words, yes, it's true. In other words, by the second co-wife saying, lo meis, that my husband did not die, so maybe she's only doing it just for no other reason than to spite her co-wife. So that could possibly be. Okay. So and therefore her testimony is in fact going to be totally ignored. Achas omeres meis. Okay. So what do we have right now? So we have case number one where one said that he died, and the other one said that he didn't die. And under those circumstances, so we just learned together that, well, the Mishnah taught us this, but now we understand a little bit better. That the one who said that he died is going to be believed, legabe herself, not legabe her co-wife. The co-wife who said that he died, she's just trying to spite and hurt her co-wife. Okay. The Gemara says, now we move on to the second case. Achas omeres meis. So the disagreement over here is not that whether the husband died or did not die. They both agree that he died. How did he die? So two different reportings by the two different wives. And a machlokis in the Mishnah, whether or not we should just throw it out, because they are not agreeing to one another. So v'liflog Rabbi Meir Bereisha. So here the Gemara asks a simple question. Rabbi Meir says that if I'm throwing out this testimony, shouldn't Rabbi Meir throw out the first case as well? Meaning, if Rabbi Meir says that when one wife says that he died naturally, and the other wife says that he died, he was murdered, and Rabbi Meir says, irreconcilable, throw it out. So then go back to the first case of the Mishnah. One said that he died, and the other one said he didn't die. That is even more irreconcilable. And why wouldn't Ramir say in that case over there, throw out all the testimony? So I'm a Rav Elazar, Machlokes Shnei Rav Yehuda Rabbi Shimoni. So Rav Elazar says, okay, so in other words, here's what you do. Learn case number one in the Mishnah, learn case number two in the Mishnah, go back to case number one, and now you know that case number one is going like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, meaning Rav Meir would not agree to case number one. Okay. So just, in other words, you just have to do a little more work, but once you have case number two, you extrapolate back to case number one. Okay. And Rav Yochanan Amar, no. Afilu Temer Rav Meir. So, Baha Afilu Rav Meir Moda. Okay, so, what we'll say is the following, and this is a chiddush, but we'll say it, when I say we, meaning Rav Yochanan is going to suggest it, and that is, Rav Meir is not going to argue in the first case. Why not? So, Dechol Lo Meis Be'edus Isha Lava Chashahi. Because when you are disagreeing in terms of how he died, one said he died naturally and the other one said he was murdered, so that's clear disagreement. But the pronouncement of he's not dead, that's not considered hachasha. That's not considered like a contradiction. So, Tanan, Eid Omer Meis, Ve'Eid Omer Lo Meis, Isha Omer Meis, Ve'Isha Omer Lo Meis, Hareze Lo Sinase. So the Gemara says, okay, go to the last case of the Mishnah. Where in the last case of the Mishnah, I got back and forth reporting where one aide says that he died, another aide said he didn't die. One wife said he died, and another wife said he didn't die. So, Bishlam al-Rev Elazar Stamak Rav Meir. So, now, what did we learn in that last case of the Mishnah? Lo tinasei. Meaning, with all this reporting, I don't know which way to go. We're not going to believe anyone. And therefore, we have to assume he's still alive. And then, who is that going like? It's going like Rav Meir. But Ella Rav Yochanan Kasha, but the Gemara says, but remember, Rav Yochanan, you're of the position that Lo Meis is not considered contradictory testimony. And so therefore, that means to say that in that last case in the Mishnah, so then it's Lo Meis, which is not necessarily contradictory. And therefore, why then the woman who reported that she saw her husband die, why can't she remarry? So Kasha. So yeah, so Rav Yochanan's going to have difficulty, meaning, once he's suggesting that Lo Meis is not necessarily contradictory, and by the way, why should that be? Because you're testifying to testifying to something that may have been true, but not necessarily now. Meaning, what did she say? She came back and she said, you know, I saw him alive and well. Okay, then the other wife will be like, okay, good. And I saw him later and he died. Meaning, the Lo Meis is not the opposite of Meis. It just simply means that, in other words, could be that we're both right. Could be, in other words, and by the way, we are both right. Meaning, he was at one point in time alive, and I'm telling you that he died. So the Rav Yochanan's argument that Lo Meis is not contradictory testimony to Meis, so in of itself may be true, but once you get to the third case of the Mishnah, you recognize in the third case of the Mishnah, that's exactly what's happening. A debate between whether he died or didn't die, and yet the Mishnah says, Lo Sinase, she can't get remarried. Now, for Rav Yochanan, why should that be? Gemara says, you're right, that's difficult. Kasha. Okay. So we pick it up now with the next Mishnah. Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Ha'isha Shach Ha'yu Ba'ala L'medina Sayam. Uba V'amra Meis Ba'ali. So a woman went together with her husband. And she comes back and she says that my husband died. So Tina Sevitotok Suvasa. So as we already know, she can remarry, she can collect her ksuva. Vitzaresa asura, but her co-wife, however, cannot. Again, going back to what we learned yesterday, a co-wife cannot be testifying on behalf of her co-wife, only on behalf of herself. So far, so good, we haven't learned anything new yet. Hold that thought. Haisa basisola kohen, tocha b'truma. Okay, now, this is really going to test the limits of to what degree the co-wives ignore one another. Okay, everyone understand now. So we have a co-wife coming back, reports self-reporting that her husband died. Okay, and so therefore she's allowed to get remarried. In fact, she's also going to collect the ksuva. Now she cannot testify on behalf of her co-wife. Again, something that we already established yesterday, and so now, as far as the co-wife is concerned, she's still a married woman. Okay, think this through now. The co-wife is still a married woman. Let's say the husband was a kohen. Is this co-wife now, who's still a married woman, is she still married to a kohen? Can she eat truma at this point in time? So Rabbi Tarfon says yes. Okay. Once you're thinking about it, once you're processing it, I hope you recognize and realize how amazing this is. Meaning, one woman who just came back and reported that the husband died is actually going to remarry under the premise that the husband's actually dead. But because she can't testify on behalf of her co-wife now is going to be able to still enjoy eating truma with the assumption, with the presumption that her husband's still alive. Okay. We are, as they say, all over the place. Okay, good. Now, okay, and Rabbi Kiva, and if all this is just, right, almost unimaginable, Rabbi Kiva does not imagine this. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein zu derech mitziyasu midei avera. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you're not extricating yourself from avera. Meaning, look, what seems to be the truth is that he died. And why? Because I'm allowing this woman to remarry. The first woman who's doing the self-reporting, she's remarrying based on the premise that he's dead. And now you're telling me, well, she can't testify on behalf of the co-wife. The co-wife's still allowed to eat truma. Can't be. Can't be, says Rabbi Akiva. It must be that, well, at least let's be concerned over the fact that he's dead, which would of course no longer entitle the co-wife to eat truma. Okay. Ad shitei asur li nasi v'asur melechol b'truma. Rabbi Kiva says, look, if you want to take a cautious approach, which I'm recommending, so what I recommend is that the woman who said that, the wife that said that he died, she's allowed to remarry. I'm sorry. According to Rabbi Kiva, asur li nase v'asur melechol b'truma. Meaning, because we have the split viewpoint of whether he's alive or dead, so what we're going to have to say is that everyone is going to have to now play cautious. Meaning, she can't get remarried and she can't eat truma. Meaning, the co-wife, the wife that's self-reporting, she can get remarried, but the other wife, she can't remarry and she can't eat truma as well. Okay, Amra meis bali v'achakach meis chami. Okay, tinase v'titok suva v'chamosa asura. Okay, now we saw this yesterday. We get to see this again. So she said as follows: my husband died, and afterwards my father-in-law died. So now again, what do we know? That a woman cannot testify on behalf of her mother-in-law. Again, one of the big five that we discussed in yesterday's daf. So she said that my husband died, and afterwards she said that her father-in-law died. So tina sevitito ksuva v'chamos asura. Now here again, we're going to have a repeat performance of this machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Tarfon says that because she can't testify on behalf of her mother-in-law, despite the fact that that her daughter-in-law reported that her husband died, but again, we're ignoring it all the way to the extent in which, if her mother-in-law was married to a kohen, mother-in-law could still eat truma. And Rabbi Kiva says, derech mitziyah midei avera, ad shetei asur li nasi v'asur melechol b'truma. And Rabbi Kiva says once again that no, why don't we be cautious over here? In other words, let's not allow her to remarry the mother-in-law, but at the same time, at least be concerned that maybe her husband died, and the mother-in-law at least should avoid eating truma, based on the fact that we know zar shalchot truma non-kohen eating truma is chayv misa. Okay, so let's take a more cautious position. Okay, so what do we have in our Mishnah over here? Machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva.
The fact that she had a son doesn't make her that she.
I know if she very good point. If they had a child, she'd be allowed to eat truma.
When she has this daughter-in-law, that means that she has a son.
That means that she had a son, right? Right, but over here in this particular case, she's testifying that her son died.
No, but if once a Kohen has a son, even if he dies, she continues to eat, no?
No, once the son dies, she no longer is able to eat.
Ah.
Okay, fine. Okay, good. No, it's good clarification. Okay, so what do we have over here? Machlokes between Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Akiva regarding the testimony that's not credible, meaning, again, the testimony regarding themselves is credible. Testimony regarding one of the five that they hate is simply inadmissible testimony. And are we going to ignore it altogether? So Rabbi Tarfon says yes, and Rabbi Akiva says no. And so, but what we learned this machlokas now two times over. So the Gemara says, Utsricha, yeah, and it was necessary. Meaning both cases in the Mishnah are making a point. It seems to be the same point, but it's really necessary. So the Gemara says, I understand Rabbi Tarfon in case number one, because in case number one, what are these two women doing? Vying for the same man. Meaning they're co-wives. And so they're vying for the same man. The amount of animosity they have for one another, it's really high. And so therefore, we will assume that when one co-wife is testifying on behalf of the other co-wife, because their animosity is so great, so therefore, we ignore it altogether. But you know, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, in other words, are we on such heated terms between the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law? Now again, we learned in yesterday's daf, they have animosity to one another. But like to the degree in which we just ignore it altogether, I might have thought, had we not had the Mishnah spell it out, I might have thought that maybe Rabbi Tarfon agrees to Rabbi Akiva, that we shouldn't ignore it altogether, meaning we'll ignore it, but not to the degree where we're going to allow her to eat truma. And again, we'll just work the opposite way. Meaning if all I had was the case of mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, so I would say that in that case, Rabbi Akiva would say that we should be cautious. But maybe in the case of the co-wives, maybe because the hatred for each other is so great, maybe Rabbi Akiva would agree to Rabbi Tarfon. We just ignore her altogether. Legabe her co-wife. Fine. I'm Rabbi Yudah Mishmo, halachik Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. This is an oddity, right? The halachic oddity. We're passing like Rabbi Tarfon, right? Generally speaking, Rabbi Akiva against any other Tana, we normally fall like Rabbi Akiva. But over here, we fall like Rabbi Tarfon. I'm Rabbi Afanami Tanina. And we're going to support this as well based on a Mishnah. Mishnah happens to be coming up next second half of today's daf. Nitanli ben b'medina seyam. She gave me a son as we went away. Meis beniv achakach bali. And then afterwards my son died and then my husband died. Ne'menes bali, ne'menes. So under those circumstances, she's going to be believed. Ba'ali v'achakach b'ni. But let's say the order was is that my husband died, then my son died. Eina ne'menes. So we are. She's not going to be believed. V'choshishin, and let's put emphasis on the next word. V'choshishin lidivareha. So we're going to be concerned now about her statement. V'choletzes v'lomis yabemis en chalitza and not yibum. Now lidvarehu d'choshishin haladivrei tzara ein choshishin. Meaning we're only worried about what she is going to be saying. But if there's a co-wife reporting about her, we simply do not worry about it whatsoever. We concern ourselves not one bit regarding anything that was admitted by her co-wife, legabe her. So shmamina. So a reading of the Mishnah coming up and later in today's daf would in fact be supportive of this idea that co-wives legabe one another. It is totally stricken from the record. Meaning even though the co-wife first does self-reporting, which again, it's really like if and when you think about it, it's very hard to just put all this together. The self-reporting that's done by any particular wife, Legabe herself, totally believed. Then, Legabe, the co-wife, totally dismissed, meaning just simply ignored. And all the way to the point where the co-wife, if she was married to a Kohen, is still allowed to eat Truma, and the Gemara passes like Rabbi Tarfon. Okay. It's definitely a lot to consider. Let's pick it up. This next Mishnah is not related to our topic and not related to our discussion. It comes over here in our perek simply because there's a line similar to the one used in the previous Mishnah. Okay, so he had a pool of five women in which he was Mekadosh one of them. Which one? He doesn't remember. Okay, now, right, so what happened? What happened to love and romance? That's a great question. I don't have good answers. But the case over here I can easily conceive of in that he sent a shliach to go Mekadosh one of them. And then when he asked the shliach, knew which one, right, of the five, I'm so excited, just tell me. And the shliach shrugs his shoulder. I don't know. And why doesn't she know? So it could be that she also sent out a shliach. Anyway, it's weird, but it can happen. And so now he's married to one of five women. Okay. Now everyone's in a lot of trouble because all five of them now are suffix whether or not they are married. So kol achas omeris osi kidesh. Oh, by the way, each one of them is claiming that they were the mekadesh. Even though it's only one of them. So no singela cholachas v'achas menich suva b'neim v'masalik divrei Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon says, okay, look, we'll solve for the problem, but you're not going to have to go out of your way. In other words, you're going to issue a get to every one of them. And as far as suva is concerned, one suva payment. So what you'll do is you'll just drop it in front of the five of them and then you'll run. Okay. ladies, you'll work it out. You'll figure it out. It belongs to one of you. And I'm sure you're gonna amicably figure out exactly who it belongs to, no problem whatsoever. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Zederch Motzi Mideavera Achi Tengeduk Suv L'Cholachas V'Achas. And Rabbi Akiva says you want to extricate yourself from avera, meaning you want to make sure that you are doing the right thing. So what you should do is not only issue a get to every one of them, but you should also give iksuva payment to every one of them. Then and only then have you properly taken care of any kind of doubt.
The ketubah payment has the time of get, right? He's divorcing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Gazal echa mechamisha ve'in de'meze gazal kol echa omer osi gazal. You stole from somebody and there are five possible candidates of who the victim is. Again, what are the circumstances over here? Not totally clear. It don't matter. It does matter. But the point over here is that in order to make good, what you have to do is that you have to return the stolen item to its owner. So once again, Rabbi Tarfon is going to use the same mechanism that he used earlier, and that is, look, I'm really sorry I stole from one of you. I know I can't identify which one of the five of you stole. Each one of you are making the claim that you are the victim. So what I'll do is I'll take the item that I stole, alternatively its value, I'll put it down over here, and once again, I'm assuming that you guys are going to work it out in terms of who is the correct victim, and I did what's right. And Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Zu Derech Motzi Mideavera Ad Sheyisham L'Chol Echad Ve'Echad. And once again, Rabbi Kiva says, no, you want to do the right thing, so you have to reimburse everyone, even though you only stole one item, but nevertheless, to do the right thing and to make sure that you have fulfilled your obligation, Ve'eshev Zegzela, so you must return it to every possible victim. Even though that means, of course, that you're going to be paying an additional four times over that which you actually stole. No, five times over. Okay. The Gemara starts off, Kiddush Ketani Ba'al Lo Ketani, Gazal Ketani Lakach Lo Ketani. Okay, so these cases in the Mishnah are cases of where you were Mekadosh one of five women and you stole from one of five people. And the Mishnah does not go over the case where you actually had relations with one of the five women or you purchased from one of five people. Now, why is that significant? So, Masisin lo Tanakama v'lo Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar de Tanya. Because then that would mean that our Mishnah is going like nobody. Now, when we say nobody, so a little bit of context over here. So, we know in our Mishnah there's a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. So, this is going to be one of those moments where It's a machlokus within a machlokus, meaning exactly what the framework of the debate between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva is subject to a debate. Let's see the following braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. This is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's version of the machlokus. Lo nechlegu Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva al shekidesh achas mechamash nashim veindei ze kidesh minechzuv abenem mustalek. So if you were just mekadesh one of five women, so everyone agrees, put them, drop the money down, run, and you're good. Amanechlegu al shabal Rabbi Tarfon amar minechzuv abenem mustalek Rabbi Kiva amar ashiyah sham lechol achas v'achas. However, if you had relations with one of those five women, and now you can't identify which one you had it with, and each one is claiming that they are now your wife, so now that's the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. What's the difference if you were just Mekadesh versus where you had Bia? So kind of intuitive, meaning if you were Mekadesh, that was just a financial transaction, granted towards marriage, but okay. But if you had Bia, it's obviously a Genai now, where you actually had relations with one of them, and now you can't identify which one it is. Okay, so that's obviously much more embarrassing. You want to extricate yourself from this, you got to give a get and exuva to every one of them. Lo nechlugu Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Kiva al shalakach mekach mechamish b'nei adam v'yendeh mitzemem lakach sheminecht me mekach menem mastalek. And now let's go to transactions. If you sold something, sorry, if you purchase something from somebody, and again, five possible candidates, each one of them saying they're the seller, and you don't know which one is the seller, so you could drop the money down and you could run. And everyone agrees. Lo nechlegu ela she gazal mechamisha shama Rabbi Tarfon minech gzela b'neima mestalek Rabbi Akiva omer ashe shem l'gzela chol achav echad. But again, once we're talking about theft, and you have now an imperative of returning the lost item to its rightful owner, so now we have a debate between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva in terms of what the right solution is. Okay, so now, this is all one version of the debate. Now, midikamer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar bekidesh v'lakach lo pligi mechlal datana kamasavar pligi. So now, we know that there's another version of the debate. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar gives us one version. There has to be another version. Oh, and that other version must include both kidesh and lakach. Meaning, even in cases of kidesh and lakach, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon are going to be debating. Now, if you have everything straight, and admittedly, it's a lot of information. You have to know the machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. You have to know the two opinions of when they're debating, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar versus the Chachamim. And then you have to take all that and plug it back into the Mishnah. Money. Who is our Mishnah going like? Itanakama lesne kiddush v'lakach. If our Mishnah was going like the Tanakama, our Mishnah's example should be kidesh, which it is, and lakach, which it isn't. Meaning, the second case in our Mishnah is gzela. And e, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, lesne baal v'gazal. And if it were Shimon ben Elazar, the cases in our Mishnah should be baal and gazal. And that's good for the second part of the Mishnah, but it's not good for the first part of the Mishnah. So the issue is simply, who is our Mishnah? So la'olam Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, my kiddush kiddush bebiya. So the Gemara says, okay, so really what our Mishnah is the Shita of Shimon ben Elazar. And when our Mishnah talks about Kiddush, it means that you were Mekadosh using what method? The method of Bia. Now, you'll hopefully remember, we learned this in Yevamos. Oh, just a short 2 months ago. But we learned this together, that Rav was unhappy with anyone who was Mekadosh Bia. Rav Mangid Amande Mekadosh Bia. So it's not good. But is it effective? Yes. And so when our Mishnah says that he was Mekadosh, it means he was Mekadosh Bibiya. So Tanakidish lo dicha kocha de Rabbi Kiva, de afagav, de isur de rabbanan avid kanis. So, and the point of our Mishnah is that despite the fact that he did something which was highly inappropriate, being Mekadosh Bibiya is violating a din de rabbanan. The rabbis did not want a person to be Mekadosh Bibiya. Again, Rav would give malchus to somebody who did so. So maybe a knas imposed on such an individual. Okay, fine. So Tana Gezel lo dicha kocha de Rabbi Tarfon, daf agav di sur de reis avid lo kanis. And the gzela obviously is highlighting Rabbi Tarfon shita, meaning Rabbi Tarfon's telling you that you could just drop it and leave. Right? That's weird according to Rabbi Tarfon. Meaning you just stole from somebody and the onus is on you to return it back to its owner. And because right now five people are claiming they're the owner, So now you have an obligation of returning to its owner. Maybe, like Rabbi Akiva says, you have to do it five times over. And Rabbi Tarfon says, look, as far as you're concerned, you want to be yotzei your obligation, just leave it and run. Okay. So that obviously represents a chiddush. Okay, that was all just a quick detour from the topic of Yavamos. Again, the reason why I come up over here is because the line of Rabbi Akiva, you want to extricate yourself from any kind of doubt, and you want to make sure you want to do the right thing. So you have that line dropped in the Mishnah, similar to the line of the previous Mishnah. That's why the Mishnah came up over here. Okay, and we're finishing up. We're on the Mishnah now. Halfway through on Kuf Yud Chesem and Beis. Ha'isha shach yi bala medina sayam. Ubanai mahem. Okay, so a husband and wife went away together with their son. Uvas va'amra, she comes back now and she says the following. Now remember, they left and she is now what in status to her in terms of yibum. When she left, she had a child. There's no mitzvah of yibum. Now, she comes back and she says the following. Now, follow carefully because admittedly, it's just a little bit complicated, but it's not so bad. So, my husband died and then my son died. So now at that point in time, she's believed because really what is she doing? She's not changing the status from when she left. When she left, she had a chazaka of no mitzvah of yibum, and now her reporting is basically arriving at that conclusion. Now, meis beni v'achar kach meis bali eino ne'emenes. Now, if she says that my husband died, sorry, let me do that correctly. Let's say that she says that her son died, then her husband died, which basically now means that she has a mitzvah of yibum, eino ne'emenes, she's not going to be believed. Why? Because that now is going to be running opposite of when she left. When she left, she had no chazak of yibum. And now because of the reporting in terms of the order of the death, now she has a mitzvah of yibum, she's not going to believe. V'choshishin lidvareha. On the other hand, we're not going to totally ignore her because according to our reporting, there's a zika. So chaletzah v'lo misyabemis. So the balanced approach is going to be chalitza, meaning if she's right, we'll do chalitza. And if she's not right, but at the same time, we have to be concerned that she is not faithfully reporting exactly what happened, and therefore we won't allow her to do yibum. Meaning, let's take into consideration if yibum is not required, it's an erva, it's eishes ach. So therefore, we're going to take a balanced approach of we'll have her do chalitza just in case she's reporting it accurately. Nitan li ben b'medina siyam. Here we go now, where she's coming back. She's saying the following. Now she left with her husband, and they did not have a child. So now, as she left, what chazaka did she have? That of a yavama, right? Needing to do yibum in the event that her husband died. But here she comes back now with the following reporting. Number one, we had a child. The amra meis bini v'achakach meis bali, and then rachmanus, my son died, and then my husband died. Nemanus, so she's going to be believed because when all said and done, with her reporting, nothing changed. As she left, she had a mitzvah yibum. Now she comes back with everything she just got done saying, there's a mitzvah yibum. However, meis bali v'achakach meis bani, but if she said her husband died, followed then by her son dying, which basically now says that she's excused from the mitzvah yibum, eino ne'emenes v'choshen ledver v'cholas v'lo misyabemes. Once again, a balanced approach of, on one hand, not totally ignoring her, so that they'll do chalitza. On the other hand, not fully crediting her, because again, if she marries her yavama where there's no mitzvah, that's an iser erva. Nitain la yavam b'medina sayam. Okay, let's say that she went away. Not only did she go away, but she went to go with her in-laws. Okay, and now she comes back and she reports the following: that my my mother-in-law had another kid, and I was provided a yavam while we were away. Amra meis baliv achakach meis yivmi. And then continuing her reporting, my husband died, followed then by my brother-in-law. Yivmi v'achakach bali ne'menes. So under those circumstances, she will be believed. Halchi yuvalav yavama limedina sayam. Let's say she went together with her husband and her and her sister-in-law. Amra meis bali v'achakach. I'm sorry, and her brother-in-law. Amra meis bali v'achakach yimi. Yimi v'achakach bali eino ne'emenes. If she says that my husband died, my brother-in-law died, or my brother-in-law died, my husband died, eino ne'emenes, she'ina ne'emenes, she'ina isha ne'emenes l'amar meis yimi, she'tina say. A woman is not going to be believed that her yavam died so that she can go ahead and she can get remarried. Meaning self-reporting regarding her husband, so that that she's given full credibility. But reporting regarding her brother-in-law and to extricate herself from a zika, to that degree, she's not going to be believed. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, Rashi reminds us over here, because she just simply may not like her yavam. Okay, now, I wouldn't say that simply, but yes. Right. V'lo meisa achosa, v'lo meisa achosa, she tekanas labesa. She cannot say that her sister died in order to basically marry her brother-in-law. Meaning, once again, a woman is going to be believed regarding her husband, but to say now that her sister died in order to be able to marry her husband, which if in fact she's right, meaning if her sister in fact died, so she could marry her sister's husband, meaning that is allowed. But to be given her that kind of credibility, she doesn't have. A man is not believed to say that a brother died so that he can marry his wife. And he cannot testify that his wife died so that he can marry his wife's sister. Okay. In order for a woman to get divorced, she has to accept it directly. Divorce is good for a woman. It's great for a woman if she wants a divorce. But in other words, but we can't do it on her behalf. In other words, she has to be the one who is directly receiving it. To appoint an agent for a woman to receive the get. So on one hand, if she wants a divorce, that's great. On the other hand, she's going to be out now, a husband, a livelihood, right, support, protection, etc., etc. So you can't appoint an agent on behalf of a woman to accept the get. Now, she can appoint an agent to do so, but we can't appoint one for her, because the only thing we can do on behalf of people is only that which is a zchus. Okay, we know this, right? One of the basics. It comes up and again throughout Shas. So, question as follows. Right now, the husband knows right now that he's going to die. He also happens to know his brother, and he happens to know how his wife feels about his brother. So he would be doing a fantastic service for her if he appointed a shliach on behalf of her, so that she would accept a get, the shliach would accept a get on her behalf, and so that she wouldn't have to do yibum with her brother-in-law. With her brother-in-law, meaning my brother. Sounds good. Sounds great. The problem is this a fair assumption? So Amar le Tanina v'choshen ledvar v'cholatz v'lo misya b'emes. So he says, let's take a look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, choshen ledvareha, meaning, Rashi says, if you take the sum total of our Mishnah, so our Mishnah says that we have to be concerned about her position, regardless of whether it brings her into Yibum or takes her out of Yibum. Meaning, as Rashi points out over here, when you look at our Mishnah collectively, what is our Mishnah basically saying? Yesh v'yesh. Sometimes she likes her brother, sometimes she doesn't like her brother. So, and that means to say that we cannot take a one-sided view regarding her feelings about her brother-in-law. And so therefore, we can't appoint an agent on her behalf in order to accept a get on her behalf, because she may, in fact, like her brother-in-law. So, Amalei Ravin L'Rava, Mazake get Lisha B'makam Ketata Mahu, Kevin Dislay Ketata B'hadei, Zechusu La'u Dema, Nicha D'Gufa Adif La'am. So the Gemara says, okay, and what if there's marital discord, like we discussed in the beginning of this perek? And now, to make a shliach on her behalf in order to accept the get, can we do that? So the Gemara says, clearly, no. The answer is going to be no. Tashma, Damar Ish Lakish, Tavla Mesav Tandu, Mele Mesav Armalu. So the rule of Reish Lakish, numerous times presented in the Gemara. here in Seder Nashim. We're going to see this again in Ksuvos, in Kedushin. Okay, whatever. It's an often quoted statement, which is that a woman likes to be likes companionship, meaning rather than being a widow, a woman would want companionship, and even if it means that her companionship is going to result in a little bit of marital discord, or even a lot of marital discord. You can't speak on her behalf. If she elects to accept the get, that's one thing. But to speak on her behalf and say she'd love it if she got divorced, nobody could do it on her behalf. Amar Abaye and the Gemara to end off our parak is going to say this in many different ways, where basically a woman's going to be happy with whoever she marries. Okay, so for all of us married men in the world to think that, you know, we're really a big deal. Look, our wives married us. So just a little bit of humility over here, just in terms of, you know who she's going to marry? She'll marry just about anybody. So the Abaye Amar Deshum Shema Gavra Kursei Bei Charasa Ramula. Expression number one, a woman's married to a person who's particularly small, but nevertheless, she's a married woman. She's going to take her chair. She's going to sit amongst the other women, meaning she's a married woman. Rav Papa Amar Denafsa Gavra Tikre Besifa Bava V'tesev. Rav Papa says that her husband has a profession. Niputz, he's combing flax. Not a particularly prestigious occupation. Don't matter. His wife is now officially a missus. She's a married woman. No. Rav Ashi Amar Dekul Segavra Lo Bay Tapache Lekedera. The Rav Ashi says that if her husband is not particularly, doesn't come from such tremendous yichus, she's not going to be a demanding wife. She won't start demanding, you know what, the soup needs lentils. She won't say that. Why? Because again, the status of her being married, it's a big deal. Okay, so numerous different ways to say it, that a woman likes being a married woman. And so it's just because there's marital discord does not necessarily mean she wants a divorce. There are benefits for her being married. Okay, good. And so therefore, again, if she elects to get divorced, perfect. But you can't speak on her behalf. You cannot ever assume zachon la'adam shelo b'fanav. Finally, the Gemara says, "Tahanu v'kula mizanos v'solos bebaaleihem." By the way, an appendix, a sad commentary, and that is that all these women that we just described, they like their marital status. That doesn't necessarily mean they like their husbands, and so therefore, what they're going to do is that they're all going to commit adultery, and then when wondering, you know, who's the father, they're going to point to their husbands. Their husbands are the father. Okay. Admittedly, by the way, not a great point to end off the parak, but okay, but that's how the parak ends. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. What did we do with contradictory testimony regarding the death of her husband? So, in the Mishnah, it's a little bit unclear. Meaning the Mishnah that started on Kuf Yizayin Amud Beis, if one of the Kohai says he died, and the other Kohai says he didn't die. So the one who says that he died, that will believe. The one who says didn't die vis-a-vis her, so then her husband's not dead. Okay. What if they're arguing about how the husband died? Machlokis Tanayim. Are those Tanayim going to be arguing in the first case as well? The Gemara discusses and deliberates that very issue. That's number one. Number two, our next big discussion of the day. So that co-wives cannot testify on behalf of one another. Neither can a woman testify on behalf of her mother-in-law. So in our dismissal of a testimony of one wife on behalf of the co-wife, is it a full dismissal of testimony? Or do we have to be concerned that, look, she may be telling the truth? I.e., can the co-wife continue to eat truma if the husband was a Kohen? Machlok is between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. And in both cases, okay, that was number two. And finally, number three, our third big topic for today. You're a Mekadosh woman, you don't know which one you're a Mekadosh. You stole from somebody, you don't know who you stole from. What do you do to make amends? For the women, you certainly write a get for each one of them. Do you have to issue a ksuva to all five of the women? Machlokes HaTanayim. Between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Similarly, if you steal from somebody and you want to make amends, and there are five possible victims, and you don't know which one, and everyone's claiming they're the victim, So what do you do to make amends? Rabbi Tarfon says you drop it and run. Rabbi Akiva says you have to give to every five of them. Okay, and then a detailed discussion, somewhat complicated discussion. Who is the author of the Mishnah? Is it Rabbi Shimon Elazar? Is it the Chachamim? Okay. And finally, our last discussion is that when she goes away with a chazakah and she comes back with a lot of reporting, but that reporting brings her back to the chazakah, she's believed. If the reporting does not bring her back to that chazakah, she's not believed. Okay. And then a discussion in the Gemara regarding if the husband knows that his wife hates his brother, so can he appoint a shliach on her behalf so to accept a get on her behalf so that she won't have to do the mitzvah of Yibum? The answer is no. If we know that there's marital discord between husband and wife, can we appoint a shliach on her behalf to accept the get? The answer there too is going to be no. In other words, the zach la'adam shel b'fanav vein chav la'adam shelo b'fanav. And over here, as much as the marriage is difficult, or the potential marriage is difficult, but her current state of marriage has obvious benefits to it. And basically, to say it simply, so it's not all zechus, and therefore you can't appoint a shlech on her behalf.